ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
The Brisbane Broncos had a stunning upset in some ways over Penrith on Thursday night, 14-12. But it was a Broncos side back to about full strength. And they, well, for the second half, they kind of dominated. And I'm sure much of a relief for the playing group and coach Michael Maguire after eight straight defeats. And the coach is on the line. Madge, how are you going?
Good, Andrew. Thanks for having me on, mate.
No, always a pleasure, mate. How did that change the mood on the flight back for everybody?
It definitely put a smile on everyone's face, mate. It's been a torrid old 2 months. But, a real credit to the players and the staff. You know, they've just dug in and found their way to that performance. And, you know, obviously we had, basically the cavalry coming back, which was everyone on the park. So it was great to get a good performance and plenty to go.
Yeah, I mean, you'd start talking about injuries and every other club or fan base will be crying me a river. Everyone goes through it. But to see the effort that this team put in against the top of the table side on Thursday night, which really set up that dominant second half and finally the try to Carapani to seal a very narrow victory. The effort was there, and I'm sure you wish you'd been there for every minute of the last 8 or 9 weeks, but that must have impressed you.
Yeah, Andrew, I've got to say, I've seen effort like that everywhere around the club, I guess, for the last 2 months, and for whatever reason, we just haven't been able to get into that winner's circle, whether that's, you know, players available or whatever it was, but it was real pleasing to obviously play against a very good team there on Thursday night, you know, who's leading the comp. And the boys go and perform the way they did, and they had to go the depths of the second half and found the pressure and were able to get some success at the back end.
Madge, how does it go, mate? Does it get a little bit frustrating as a coach, I suppose, knowing just how much talent you got out there and how good you can actually play, but just can't get it right on you know, some weeks?
Yeah, Louis, it is. That's part of coaching, and I guess I see it for what it is. You know, I'm seeing the capabilities of all the players, and we've debuted more players than I ever have as a first grade coach this year. So it's when you've got some players that are probably thinking they probably weren't playing first grade, you know, as a part of or major part of your team, then you know, you're relying on players that, you know, haven't had that experience. And we basically got all our experience back there on Thursday night. We've had guys out for 5 or 6 weeks in blocks. We've had a very disjointed sort of time. But the one thing for myself, I just knew that if I could get the team that I know that we have capable out on the field, then the performances will be there. And, you know, Thursday night was obviously one of them.
Madge, now I want you to take me on a little bit of a journey for yourself. How do you handle all this crazy media out there and what's, you know, being said about you and this beautiful club that you just won the grand final last year, and then now they've got, you know, talks about you trying that you're going to leave? That just blows my mind.
Yeah, mate. Louis, half of it's made up these days. I think I have to get my parachute. Michael might be there, and he knows about parachutes, you know, parachute me in and parachute me out and things like that. But, mate, they're things that are being said out wide, but the truth is what you really focus on is what's going on inside. And, mate, I've got a really good playing group, mate. Love my staff. You know, and albeit we've gone through some tough periods, the club has just stayed focused on what we're trying to achieve. And I think, you know, that's the game, the modern game now. People like to have all these varying opinions, and sometimes they're not true. But the way it is it is what it is, and you just got to stick solid with the players that you believe in. And I've got a lot of belief around this group, and I feel that they can do something over this next couple of months. And, you know, if we get it the right way, well, we're going to, you know, obviously show everyone what we're capable of.
Well, mate, I love what you're doing as a coach up there, so keep doing what you're doing. But now just a quick one. What's it like coaching, I suppose, the Brisbane Broncos compared to the other clubs that you coach? Because they're a one-team town, I suppose it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, you know, they are very passionate up here. I mean, we actually had a fan day a week ago at one of the shopping malls, and I've got to say, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen so many people jammed into a shopping mall. So moments like that makes you realise what rugby league means to a lot of people, and obviously Brisbane's a big part of, you know, what makes rugby league. And, the noise is loud and all that, but as I said before, you know, the people that matter the most are the players and the staff, and we can control what's going on, and I feel that's where the club's going.
The two things that have just taken my interest there. Louis, you describing the Brisbane Broncos as a beautiful club. I've never heard you refer to any team as beautiful before.
It's a very beautiful looking club.
And the other thing was a reference by you, Madge, to Mr. Carianis over here about parachuting. Yeah. What's doing there?
Well, maybe I can explain it, Madge. You want me to explain it?
You can go for it, mate.
So it's my reference where I think Madge is a premiership winning coach, right? A guy that you can parachute in. If you and I probably used, have I used that word parachute in the past, Madge? I might have, where he can get you from 80 to 100% to win a comp. And I think he can be the first coach to win three comps at three different clubs. But for mine, the job is now done at Brisbane. So that's my discussion around that, Madge. So it's obviously no disrespect there, but I just think your skill set is
so basically
to...
1 year in and get out. That's what he would do to you.
Well, he got the job done quicker than we all would have thought. But it's not and I'm trying to say it as a. It's not a negative. I think we associate it with a negative thought with coaches bouncing around, right? But it's not a negative, is the way I've been trying
Sounds
to explain
like
it.
A bit of negative.
Not really. Not really. First coach to win three comps at three different clubs.
And you got to throw in there, he won the was it the World Cup?
He won for New Zealand.
Pacific Championship for New Zealand by a record margin.
And then the Origin as well. So
league, So it's not a sledge. But,
well, at least your parachute's working, Michael. That's the good news.
So rent not buy is probably my advice.
get into him, boys. Yeah, it's all right, Michael. Man, I'm a big boy, man. Yeah, I can handle all that sort of stuff because the one thing I do know, mate, winning competitions and being with the players, there's nothing better. So I just keep chasing that, bud.
How different is... So you've obviously defended premierships before, right? Like, how different is this one or how difficult has it been this year compared to what you did, I guess, at South or the other success that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, this season has been a really unusual season as a coach, Milo. I mean, I've never had so many people in and out. Now, a lot of other teams are going through exactly the same thing. You know, the teams that I think ended up in the top four are probably floating around in a similar situation as ourselves. So it's quite amazing how each season is so different. But once you get your more senior players, experienced players, well, you can get a performance like we did last night. And would have we liked that, you know, a few months ago, of course, at times. But you're travelling through a season on that journey and, you know, we're at this moment in time where, you know, there's a lot of chatter around what we might be able to do. Well, you know, we can get together and keep reproducing that performance. There's no reasons why this group can't do something, what they've done before. So we'll chase that, you know, until, you know, as far as we can take it. And if that's to where we want to get to, this group's got a lot of belief about themselves.
We've heard you speak naturally that, you know, we're still in the finals, aren't we? Still in the finals, aren't we? Have you had to sell that belief to the players as well, or have you seen that in their eyes?
I've seen that in the players. That's the reason why I talk that way. I react off the back of how my players are and my staff are and what I see going on around the organisation. I saw that in that performance. That's why I was so proud to be the coach, is that, you know, obviously it's a journey when you go through eight losses. No one wants to go through that. But what the players and the staff and the organisation have done have really focused in on what we can control, and that's to me what I saw on Thursday, and that's why it was nice to see a smile on everyone's faces, because we all know how much work we put into that, and now we've just got to keep capitalising on the stuff that they've put inside themselves.
We know what Rhys Walsh produced at the end of last year. It's something that we rarely see, that high calibre at such a you know, pointy end of the season. He was magnificent on Thursday night. Yeah. What have you seen from him this year? Because you've got to mix in the injuries that he's had as well. How do you rate his year backing up from the magic of last year?
Yeah, I think Reece, you'd probably say it has been a bit of a mixed bag, but that's been part of the season. Like, he was out for 6 weeks with a fractured face. You've got to come back from that. And, you know, everyone expects that he's got this unbelievable high standard, which you saw the other night. But the players complement each other. You know, and I think, you know, when everyone's playing well, then Reece can produce that type of performance. And, you know, it takes everyone to be able to do their roles for Reece to be able to just do what he did. Because when we're in that mode, I mean, Reece's one of the best, you know, and I get to see that throughout the week and see that through our players. But, you know, we have such a high expectation for Reece, especially off what he's been able to produce. And when everyone's at their best, I feel Dreesy will get more times where we see that, and you sit back and, to be honest, I'm like a fan. I just watch it and go, mate, how is that?
Well, I mean, we had reminders too through the night against Penrith of the majesty that is offered up by Adam Reynolds still from time to time. But then you see him limp. Are you holding your breath every time he makes a run or makes a tackle that he'll get up and move okay?
At times, yes. he's hanging in there, but yeah, what he means to the players, and you know, he's such a great leader around that playing group, you know, and he controls, he's a conductor. So look, each week's you know, where we're getting him ready to go, and we're fortunately now we've got quite a lot of depth too. So, you know, we've got Billy Walters coming back into the scene, and you know, Hunty's there if we need to. So now all of a sudden I have this depth that if for whatever reason, and we went through it last year, in one game we lost Renault, Ezra Mam and Selwyn. And we're fortunate that everyone was fit at that time, and they were able to jump back. You know, we put Hunty and Billy Walters in. So they complement each other. So we're in a moment where we can capture this, then we'll see where it takes us.
We'll let you go on a tick. Can you give us an update on Corey Jensen? Amongst all the injuries, that I think is the most horrifying, blood clot to the lungs. Yeah. And I mean, we're talking life-threatening stuff with that with Corey, and we're told he won't be playing again this year. How is he physically, but also how's he dealing with it mentally?
Yeah, well, firstly, boys, we have definitely missed Corey. Like, he's like the rock, you know, and he's been a real stalwart of the team for such a long period of time. So he's even another one that we talk about that's been out for quite some time that, as a starting front rower, you know exactly what you're going to get. So look, we're waiting, hopefully, for some good news, but we're probably crossing everything because there might be the other side of it where he won't be able to play. So we're in the midst of just working through where he's at, and the blood clots on the lungs. No one in the game has really had that, so no one really knows exactly what you can do with it. You know, he's on some strong drugs for the blood thinners, so he can't play because of that. Mm. And until he gets off those, the warfarin, he won't be able to play. So yeah, we're all hoping for Corey's sake that he'll be right and he can get back playing again, because he's a big part of who we are.
And just a few texts here directed to or about you. Jeff says he's hiking the Hayson Trail in South Australia and listening, as I do on all my long hikes, who heads go the Broncos. Paul from Wagga says, boy, sounds like MC wants Madge to coach the Blues next year. Well, you probably still got your blue parachute, haven't you? Just in case.
I did have a good time there, boys.
And great success. Can you ask Madge of his experience of living in Queensland, in particular around Origin time, and how fanatical Queensland get for it?
They're very fanatical, and I got absolutely hammered. Yeah. So until I saw them win that game. So yeah, it's pretty quiet now.
All right. Michael, we appreciate your time. Great to see Brisbane playing like Brisbane on Thursday night, and let's hope it continues that way over the next couple of months. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me on.
You can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Cover Time.
Okay, Michael, what are we leading with today?
Well, let's start with the nation's capital. You spoke around Cody Ramsey, Andrew, and how impressive he's been this year. Well, another fullback that's been impressive without a gig for next year is Matt Dufty, and Souths are trying to find a way to keep him, but to accommodate him, someone needs to fall out of the roster. They don't have the scope for him next season, and Peter Mamazelis has been linked to other clubs, and he's a guy that could slip through, but they need to find a spot for Matt Dufty if they want to keep him for next year.
Let me ask you this question about South Sydney. And again, you feel like you're questioning anything Wayne Bennett does, and it's stupid from our behalf. But Jai Gray, Dufty's been playing really well, but Jai Gray is one of the best players at South, and he's not in the starting lineup. Do we know why?
Yes. Okay. Passing game of Matt Dufty. That's the reason. You asked why? That's the reason I asked.
Okay, well, that seems to be one of the more stupid things.
No, it does make sense.
He might be a good pass. He's not as good a footballer as Jai Gray.
No, he's not. He's not. I love Jai Gray. I think he's an outstanding footballer. But there is the only difference I can tell between the two of them is that Matt Dufty does have a nice pass where he can hit the winger. He can play short. He's what's going on there?
Keep going.
You all right, mate?
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear you without a lolly in your mouth.
But, yeah, that's my opinion on it. So I sit down and think, mate, it's where he's coming from. He's got a good point.
Okay, well, there you go. If Souths are a better team without Jai Gray, I'm not here. What's next?
Well, we didn't really say they're a better team.
I just gave you the reason why.
Yeah. I hear you.
Cowboys news for tomorrow as well. Jake Clifford looks like he's about to be dropped for Tom Dearden. So that's a huge call from Todd Payton with Tom Dearden coming back from injury. And naturally, he slots back into that spot in the halves, having missed an extended period. However, it looks like Jake Clifford's the player that's going to make way for him with Jackson Purdue staying in the halves.
That's huge for the Cowboys getting Dearden back now, isn't it?
It is. No, definitely. But it's big call to drop Clifford. I think, you know, he wasn't great against Manly last week, but I think he's had a pretty good season for him.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. All right, and finally.
The Dragons coach, look, there's all these whispers around a third person and things like that. It's down to two. Dean Young or Ben Hornby will be the coach of the Dragons. Ignore everything else.
And that's it. Just those two.
It'll be one of those outside two. They have looked outside and they have interviewed people, but it will be one of those two.
Because the other name I heard as the third person just makes zero sense.
Who's the third?
Trent Barrett was the name I'd heard.
Yeah.
Well, as in that story's wrong? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, but again, you'd think that Dean Young would be favourite just because he's there?
I would say so, Andrew. Like, if you said to me, you know, if you, you know, put it on the line who's favourite, I would say Dean Young, but not with any conviction.
On that, though, with the new coaches coming in, well, how much time do these guys have to get it right?
Well, you usually have. So, okay, let's take the coaches that are there now who have in their third. So, Jason Rolls, for example, right? He's in his second season. Next year's in his third. That's when the pressure would start to mount up on someone like Jason Rolls.
So, does it mount up quicker, though, on Dean Young because he's already been there?
A little bit, but there'll be expectation to play finals next year with that roster at the Dragons.
It's a very different looking roster, isn't it, Nick?
They've got a good side next year.
Yeah, the expectation would be for finals.
It's almost the worst thing for a coach when there's expectation having come from none.
Well, but you look at that side that they've played this year compared to the one that will run out in round one. The one from round one should beat this current side by 30.
Yeah. And that is MC's Hammer Time on this Saturday afternoon. On the text line, Andrew and team, Luai has not been a success at the Tigers. Why would he beat PNG from Andy at Camden? Well, it depends how you justify success. In terms of luring players to the club and being that star that helps attract others to the club, he has been pretty successful. And already that's the case at PNG too, isn't it?
Yeah, they'll probably sign Zach Lomax as well, PNG. I expect that to happen a bit of extended MC Hammer Time.
Ooh.
Whilst we're going.
Okay. So out from the Boondle, but that's, for 2028. So one more year at the Western Force?
Yeah.
For Lomax?
Yeah. He shouldn't. I don't think he'll break another contract.
Do we know how he played at the Western Force?
Watched 0 seconds of it, but apparently he was good. Like, he's a talent.
You know the part that blows my mind? I remember when he left and everyone was blowing up, going, oh, mate, we're going to be talking about this and that. Never heard a word again.
Mate, he's out in the now, isn't he?
Like, I'm sure that wasn't the master plan.
No, but we didn't. I heard nothing about his season. So that's
apparently it was good, but he's injured at the moment and he's a chance of playing for the Wallabies at the back end of the year.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.